Blog Talk Radio.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you.
Welcome, everybody, to the Blog Talk Radio. Gerald Kendrick coming to you live in Southern California. We are live on the air. Stay tuned. What exciting talk to God's Word. Come to you with nothing but the Word of God and encourage you. It's holy writ. Hallelujah.
All the glory belongs to you. You are God.
Hit the share button. Mighty man. We'll be talking about perseverance. Perseverance. What does it mean to persevere?
And it's how we decide to give.
What happens if we don't persevere?
We say, I persevere.
Persevering of the Christian faith, what it means to endure trials and tribulations and continue to still give him the honor and glory, even in the midst of the trials, even in the midst of deep perseverance. When we look at the Bible first, we have to look at it in the context of what it meant to be a Christian. They were honored to suffer for his righteousness. They were honored to suffer for his name's sake. And this 21st century church, friends, we find very few people who want to suffer for his name. We find very few people who consider it an honor to suffer. We got brothers and sisters all over the world, outside of America, outside of this Western culture that we live in, who don't understand what it means to suffer. Because we think we're entitled to something. We think we're supposed to be rich. We're supposed to have a big house and a bunch of cars. And we're supposed to have all of the material things. But then we're dumb and ignorant of God's scripture, which is valuable and which should be considered like gold, like precious metal, like a precious metal. It should be like platinum. The word of God. People are dying for this word. But here in America, we're listening to false teachers who tell us we're supposed to have this, have that, and if you don't have it, that means you don't have no faith. Well, I'm going to show you today, through Scripture, what faith really is and what it really entails. It means that I'm willing to die and suffer and endure hardship. Because what God has for me, friends, you can't find in a store. What Jesus Christ has for us, friends, you can't find at the mall. What Jesus Christ has for us, you can't buy it. It's given to you when you truly are willing to suffer for his name's sake, when you're willing to die for him. And one of the things, first thing we had to do is die to self. That's salvation. Paul said, I am being crucified with Christ. It's not I that live, but now Christ lives in me, Galatians 2:20. Most people don't want to die. They just want stuff. They don't want to die to self. They sure don't want to suffer. Well, friends, to be a believer, it means that you're willing to suffer. Whatever the suffering is, you're willing to go through it because you know that to suffer with Christ is a badge of honor. I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick coming to you live from Southern California, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken. You can follow this, you can follow me, or you can follow this podcast through Blog Talk Radio at Minister Big Ken, the Prodigal Church Hour, Minister Big Ken 65, that is. Or you can just Google that, Minister Big Ken 65. It'll take you to the Prodigal Church Hour on Blog Talk Radio. You could be able to listen to about 800-plus messages that I got up there, and you can listen anytime. This message will be uploaded immediately after this, after we finish. The call-in number, you can call in. I can only take 5 calls in the queue, but we're going to try to finish up in time. If you have a prayer request, if you have a need and you need prayer over, if you just want to discuss the topic that we talk about, or if you just want to discuss something, we'll leave some time for you to call in, and you can just let me know. I can watch. I can see who's calling in, and we can be able to when I say we, I'm saying me, like me and the Holy Spirit. But there's nobody else with me. But we can be able to just lift you up and encourage you and build you up in your most holy faith. That's what it's about, friends. I am here as a servant of God. I am I'm a vessel that God is using in his toolbox. I'm no better than you. I'm no more holier than you. I'm no more spiritual than you. I'm just a servant. And I consider it an honor to be used by God to serve in whatever capacity he would use me, to spread the good news, to try to build up people who are basically looking for money. They're looking for things and looking for somebody to bring them hope and joy. And friends, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to find that hope and joy in people. People will let you down. Even those with good intentions, they'll let you down. But Jesus will never let us down. He will never leave us or forsake us. The problem is sometimes we walk away from him because we're not really persevering. We're not grounded and rooted in our faith. And we want to help us. We want to encourage you today to do just that, to get grounded and rooted, to add to your faith the things that you need. It's one thing to be saved, but our sanctification is a daily process of walking it out, working it out. You've got to work out your salvation. You don't just say this prayer today and then just go on and back into the world tomorrow. No, this relationship requires a connection and a commitment to abide in Jesus Christ and to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So with that being said, again, you can listen on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. You can follow me on Facebook. You can also follow me through the podcast, Minister Big Ken 65. You can also watch on YouTube at Daryl Kendrick. I got about 100 videos up now on YouTube. So just go to YouTube channel and check me out on YouTube. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just here to serve. I'm here to build up. And I'm using wherever I can take the gospel into. Even the place, especially the place where the devil is out there trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what I'm here to do, is to take light into dark places. Because Jesus told us in John chapter 3, he says, "For this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Well, friends, we have to expose the darkness with the light. And people need the Lord right now. This world is going to hell in a handbasket with religion because people have not a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to stop playing. Either you're all in with Christ or you're just playing church. And why waste my time? I've said this many times. If I'm going to hell, I'm going first class. Playing with God, I might as well just go back out in the world. If I'm not going to do it right, if I'm not going to be really committed to it, I might as well just get right back, because either way, I end up in hell. So why play games? But I'm not going to hell. Not because of what I did for me, but because of what Jesus Christ did for me. So I want to make sure that I am working out my salvation with fear and trembling on a daily basis. And everybody that wants to grow closer to God, I'm here to encourage you to do just that. Amen. Amen. That's all right, sister. You can catch the podcast later. Just go to Minister Big Ken 65. It'll be loaded up, or you can go to the YouTube channel. Anybody that can't call in, that's all right. Just listen, and if you can't catch it, if you got to go somewhere and do something, you can catch the YouTube or you catch the podcast. But the word is going to be put out there so you can be able to grow. Amen? So let's go before the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a couple quick comments, and then we'll get right into the word. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this time of refreshing. Some of us already know what it means to persevere, but some of us don't. And Lord, we all are ignorant of some things, Lord God, but we want to be equipped to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to not just take this as information, but we want to take it as a message of dedication where we would we would line up with your word and your will so that we can be able to share and encourage others. We need to be duplicators of ourselves. Those of us who have been saved, we want to go out and duplicate what you've done in us and share that message and that love relationship with other people. So right now, Lord, we come to you as your humble servants, as vessels, and we ask, Father God, that you would just minister to us and through us so that we can be built up in our most holy faith. And, Father, if there's anybody here that does not have a personal relationship with you, may this be the day that they're set free from the bondage of sin and corruption and death, that they will be given new life and life more abundantly in Jesus Christ. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen, amen, and amen. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. Quick announcement, if you live in the Los Angeles area and you're looking for a Bible teaching church, not a church where we're going to tell you you're going to be rich, you're going to be famous, and you're going to have all these things. No, a Bible-teaching church where we teach you Christ and Him crucified and build you up and encourage you in your most holy faith. If you're looking for a place where you can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to come out to Core Church of Los Angeles, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. We also want to, you can also check out the website, www.corechurchla.org, www.corechurchla.org. And so I want to invite you on Sunday mornings, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 are the service time. Pastor Steve Wilburn is the senior pastor there, and many other pastors there, but Pastor Steve Wilburn is the senior pastor there. And there are also other brothers and sisters that can definitely minister to you and to you. So you can just come in and be loved on and just be encouraged. You can also catch his he teaches in the California area, in the Los Angeles area, on KKLA 99.5. You can catch the podcast, the radio program on 99.5. So I want to just encourage you, if you don't have a Bible-teaching church, if you don't have a Bible-teaching church, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why are you being disobedient? You wonder why you're not getting no blessings? We don't get blessings when we're disobedient to God. We don't receive the encouragement and the nourishment that we need when we're disobedient to God. We don't receive what God has for us when we're not in His will. So I want to encourage you, if you're not in a Bible-teaching church, meaning, i.e., you're not in a church at all, a fellowship, not talking about it, building this church, it's us coming together as a people, part of the family of God. God wants us to grow, and we need to grow by being connected to the vine, the true vine, and we need to be connected with the Word of God. Amen? So I want to just stimulate you. I want to urge you. I want to urge you to find yourself a Bible-teaching church where you can grow and you can be nourished. You might live somewhere else in the United States. If you need help finding a Bible-teaching church, hit me up on instant messenger on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Hit me up on an email, dkendricksr@gmail.com. Hit me up on Twitter, dkendricksr65. Whatever I can do to help you be what God wants you to be, please reach out to me. That's what it's about, please. This is a family. I don't care what your denomination is. All I'm concerned about, are you born again? Are you redeemed by the blood of Jesus? Are you a saint? I don't care what your denomination is. All that stuff is not even in the Bible. We get caught up in those things, and those things aren't biblical. We make that a standard. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Lutheran. I'm Methodist. I'm this. How about, are you a saint? Are you born again of the Spirit? Because that's the only thing that's going to matter when you stand before God. Were you walking with Jesus, or were you walking with a denomination or a creed that was not in Scripture? So that's what we need to do. We need to be encouraged and stimulated to love and do works. I thank God for all of you. And please, everybody that's on Facebook right now, hit your share button. Send a message out that we live here. And those that's on tag, send a message out and encourage people to come to get some spiritual food, some soul food. Amen? We need some soul food, friends. We're living in some dark times where truth seems to be hid under a rock. It seems to be hid under a rock these days. People don't want truth. They want you to tickle their ears. I promise you, I will never, ever be on here to tickle anybody's ear or make anybody feel good with cotton candy Christianity. That's not my style. That's not who I am. I don't care if I preach to one person or no people. I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it Jesus. Amen? So with that being said, let's get into our message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One thing we must understand, and Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. If you got your Bibles, praise God. If you don't, you can pull it up on maybe on your tablet, computer. You can pull up your Bible on there. But it's good to have your Bible when we come here, because that's what we give out. We give out Scripture here. We don't give out opinions. If I give you an opinion, I will state that. I'm just giving you opinion on here, but it's not going to be dealing with salvation. It might be just a personal observation of something in the Scripture that's not dealing with our salvation. But one thing I'm never going to do is give you an opinion when it comes to what Jesus said. If Jesus said it, that's final for me. Amen? Amen. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read through it, and then we're going to go back. And I don't know if we'll finish this. I might not stay the whole 2 hours for the sake of time. As y'all know, I can talk for 3-4 hours. Amen. But I'm not okay. Most of the time, I lose people. They can't handle no 2-hour mess. So, you know, I might cut it off at 1 hour and 15 minutes and open up the call line. Again, 646-668-8468 is the call line. You can call in. If you don't get a call, if you can't get through, I don't know if anybody in there now, but can't get through. Just nobody's on the call line. I can take 5 calls. Call in right at the end of the show. If you want to call in and if you want prayer, if you have a question, anything, maybe whatever it is that's going on, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, if you want to share something, you can call in 646-668-8468. phone, we'll take phone calls. If nobody calls in, then that will close up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through him you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he or she is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sin. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Verse 11, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we ask, Father God, that you would stimulate us to love and good works, that we may receive and may we practice the truth that's been given to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, one thing I love about this particular passage, and we're really dealing with perseverance, but Peter is really giving us how our faith, how genuine faith truly is equated to these characteristics of a true saint, because true and biblical faith requires something out of us. It draws something out of us. It wants us to move past just the fundamentals of, I just know that I'm saved because Jesus Christ saved. True salvation means that I'm not just sitting on what happened to me. Maybe I got saved in 1999. Maybe you got saved in 2005. Maybe you got saved in 2010. Whenever you got saved, that's your birthday. But just like our natural birthday, we didn't stay the same age. We didn't stay the same age. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We didn't stay the same age from the time that we got when we were born. When you and I were born, we came out the crib not talking. We came out the crib, came out the womb not talking or walking. We weren't able to take care of ourselves. But through the natural course that God designed for us, each and every one of us grows up. We grow from that baby stage of just drinking milk and crying and wanting to be changed. We grow up and we start to learn things. We start to progress and we start to grow. You know, a child's mind is like a sponge. They learn and they grow. And the learning process starts real young, because I've shared this story many times, that when my daughter was, she wasn't even 6 months, maybe 6, 7 months old, and I remember when she started crawling, and, you know, it was time she would mess with those little light switches, you know, the sockets. You know, you plug things up, and it was around the winter time, but she was born in April, but this was around winter of 2000, or 99, winter of 99. And I remember when she was growing, you know, when she started, was able to crawl, you had to watch her, because she would love to play with those light sockets. And the more she would, you know, you'd tell her, oh, no, don't touch that. No, don't touch that. Now, when she first started crawling, you know, she would, you know, just be curious about them. Then after a while, she started grabbing things and picking up things and wanting to stick things in them. And she wasn't even walking here. And once, you know, after a few times, you pop her hand and this, that, and other, and you tap her on a little diaper and tell her, don't touch that. And I kid you not, she was learning. And she was still, because we all born sinners, and it just proved how we're born in our sin. And when you tell somebody not to do something, then what do? They go, you know, you tell somebody that's in their sin. You tell them, don't touch that. And I turned the corner and peeked back around, and guess what? She went to touching it. And then she looked back to see if I was watching her. See, they know. The nature knows what's right and wrong. When they're told not to do something, just like Adam and Eve were told not to do something in the garden, they were told not to eat of that forbidden fruit. They were told not to partake of it. You can have everything here, but you can't have this. And friends, nothing new under the sun. The older we get and the more you tell us, the more we're told not to touch that, taste that, play with that, mess around with that. The more we do those things, or the more we're told not to, the more curious we become, and the more we become rebellious. Even as Christians, we still want to test God sometimes, because we think that grace is an opportunity to just slip, slide, and peep and hide. Remember, Adam and Eve wasn't in sin. They knew no sin before the fall of man. They knew no sin. But it was once their eyes was open to sin. They were told. They were given clear instruction. Don't take that. Don't touch that. But let's look at a curious, it's a word that Peter uses here. He tells us here, he says, we need to, in verse 5, and read down, he says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith and virtue. And virtue with knowledge, this is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And we'll look at how this word perseverance, because I'm reading out of the NASB, but we'll see how this word perseverance, what it really means to endure. So let's look at a definition of this. And again, 646-668-8468, you called in. I want to thank you guys for being here. Thank you for allowing me to have some of your time. And please, please, please don't let it be last. And again, know that God has, he just wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to us. Let's look at this. Hallelujah. I'm going to read out of a different translation right quick. I want us to get it, what Peter is saying to us as a church body. He tells us, in the NIV it says, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. 2, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, making one's calling and election sure. His divine power has given us everything. Everything. How many of you know what everything means? When it says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Now, this everything is not everything pertaining to what's down here on planet Earth. I want us to be clear about this, because a lot of people want to claim things that God has not given to us. God never, ever said that every Christian is going to be rich or that you're even going to be middle class. There's nowhere in Scripture you can find that. He's given us divine power, though. His divine power has been given to us. Has been given us everything we need for life and godliness. See, I want this because this right here is better than having all of the fool's gold that's out there. If you were to become a billionaire, and I shared that yesterday at the mission, if you were to become a billionaire but you go to hell, what have you profited? What have you profited? Nothing. You don't receive anything for that. Your billions is left here for somebody to fight over. But he tells us that we need to, he said his divine power has been given has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. See, these are the promises that we need to be claiming, not materialism, not material wealth. If God blesses you materially, he will bless you so you can be a blessing. Not that you can boast about, look at me, my faith gave me this. This is not about you having things so you can brag about things. I want to have the King of Glory and his divine power that will give me knowledge of him so I can bring glory to him and that I can walk in a way. Look, these precious promises. Because he says, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world caused by evil desires. Real quick, I wasn't even going in. Thank you, Holy Spirit, again. Turn with me to First John chapter 2, verse 15. Man, this message just lined right up with yesterday because this is just what I was sharing down at the mission. First John chapter 2, verse 15. He tells us here, do not love the world. He's talking to the church, the believers, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the called out ones. This is not to the world. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of in possessions is not from the Father, but it's from the world. But what do we hear people saying nowadays in the quote-unquote church and the body of Christ? What are prosperity teachers teaching you? You're supposed to be rich. And if you don't have riches, then you don't have no faith. But the Bible just tells us, don't love the world. Notice what he goes on to say. He says, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. That means if I'm in the will of God, that means I'm not pursuing after worldly things. I'm not pursuing after the lust of the flesh. I'm not pursuing after the lust of the eyes, what I can see. I'm lusting after a woman, or women are lusting after men, or men lusting after men, or women lusting after women. Those things are not of God. Those are the things that are of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. When I talk to people about, you know, homosexuality, bisexuality, and things like that, people don't want to hear that. Why? Because they have a lust problem, and their pride won't let them admit that it's sin. But God's causing sin, just like he calls fornication sin. He calls adultery sin. He calls bestiality sin. He calls covetous sin. He calls pride sin. These are sins that God does not like. I'm not going to make it just about one group. God has painted the picture broad. He wants everybody to know. If you fall into any one of these categories, you are out of the will of God. Because 1 John chapter 2 tells us, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So you're abiding in God. You're in righteousness. You're in right standing with God when you and I are abiding in him and in his word. When the word says don't participate in this or don't practice this type of lifestyle or don't live this certain way, well, he says this is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that you abstain from sexual immorality. He's not saying, well, if you can't help it, it's okay. I'm giving you a pass. Oh, no, friends. Let me share something with you. Just because you say it doesn't mean you don't have sickness and diseases in your body or cancer or something that could be caused by rebellion against God. Look, I've had 26 heart attacks. 26. I've had 6 stents, 2 open heart surgeries. My body feels like a train that ran through it at a time. And I know because of my past life, which was sexual immorality, some of those things are curses, or I should say not curses, but judgment. My soul is intact. I'm right in right standing with God, but it doesn't mean that my body is going to be 100% no more. Sometimes your sin and your past life, because we're not persevering, we're not willing to go through trials and hard times in Christ's name, with Christ, We want to take shortcuts and jump out of line and go back into the world looking for something to make us feel good or someone to make us feel good. Sometimes we're in trouble because we pick wrong partners. And I'm saying, i.e., even getting married to the wrong person. God wants all of his children to marry rather than burn. He wants us to be married rather than burn in lust or in our desires for the lust of the flesh. If you can't abstain, if God didn't give you a gift of he didn't give you the gift of celibacy, then you should seek a partner. You should seek a mate. But you don't just go out there and pick up anybody. You need to walk in obedience and make sure that they love the Lord because you love the Lord. And they should love the Lord more than they love you. And vice versa, you should love the Lord more than you love them. You know, see, when we're doing it God's way, friends, we have God's sanction on it. But when we do it in our flesh, we end up in a mess. And that's why Peter tells us, and as well as John, he's telling us, don't allow the world to dictate us for us what God only wants. He wants us to walk according to his will, not according to the world's ways. Because this is what the outcome. He tells us in verse 16, he says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Children, it's the last hour, and as you have heard, and I read this yesterday, so you might hear it again. That's okay. The word of God, we need to continue to just keep meditating on it. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have formed. What is the Antichrist? Antichrist is anyone or anything that's opposed to God's will and opposed to God's word. Anyone and anything that's walking contrary to the will of God and the word of God. When God says this is the standard and we decide we want to do it our way, that's an Antichrist spirit. That's the spirit of Antichrist. It's Satan or one of his demonic demons, a fallen angel, working behind the scene to cause insurrection. Remember, Lucifer caused the first insurrection. He was in glory, but because he wanted to run things and he wanted to be worshipped, he decided to find a follower. You got people like that all the time in the church. They don't like the pastor, so what do? They get a group, a little Bible study on the side, and then they start teaching things contrary to what the pastor's teaching. And I'm not talking about a false teacher. You should never be in a church and stay in a church where there's a false teacher that's pimping you out of money and telling you that you're supposed to have a bunch of stuff down here. You need to run for the hills. You need to run as quick as you can. Or as I used to say, you need to get on your scooter and giddy up. Get up out of there. Too many of us sit up under false teachers, and we sit up under them because they tickle our ears. They make us feel good, and they like the Pillsbury. They treat you like you're the Pillsbury dope boy, and they just poke you in the stomach, and you go, because you want to be tickled. God isn't worried about it. He's not trying to tickle us. He's trying to save our soul. He wants to do us, and he wants us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And he goes on to say, he tells us this, children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour that they went out from us. These are those who profess to be in the body of Christ. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Don't believe everybody that claims to be a brother in the faith. Test what they say and watch what they do, how they live. Our salvation is not based on works, but you should see some fruit on the tree. Because God is the one that planted us. The Lord is the one that planted us. I didn't plant myself. When he saved us, he planted us. And he won. And those roots should go down deep. They should go down deep and start spreading. So then you shoot up off the ground. You shoot up and you start to bear fruit. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, goodness. These are the byproducts of a regenerated soul and one who is persevering. You will be a football. You will be a fruit salad in God's kingdom. And I'm not talking about fruity, tooty, fresh, you know, rooty, tooty, fresh, and fruity. I'm talking about that kind of fruit. I'm talking about you bearing fruit. fruit that God can use. He wants us, going back to the text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. See, how do you get knowledge from Him? By applying the Word of God, you become wise in the knowledge of Him. The knowledge is in the book. Applying it to your life is wisdom. Wisdom is applied knowledge. When just reading the text of Scripture, just reading Scripture, doesn't make you wise. But applying it makes you wise. Applying the knowledge, when God says do this, you do it. When He says love, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That means if I'm going to love God, that means I'm going to be obedient to Him. I'm going to live a lifestyle that's pleasing in His sight. I'm not going to live according to the flesh, but I'm going to live according to the Spirit. And the Spirit is always going to lead me to truth. The Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, He comes alongside of us, but He comes in us. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, I can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh as a habit of life. When I mess up, I mess up, I get up. But if you just playing church, you ain't never got in the game. If it was just religion, because you said some prayers, you said a sinner's prayer and you went right back out in the flesh, you're still shacking with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, you're still doing drugs, you're still getting high, getting drunk, the world still owns you, you're still at the club every day of the week, and that's because you still love the world. You can't be persevering if you still love the world. See, the perseverance of the Christian life means that I'm going to endure in Christ. I'm going to go through the things that Christ wants me to go through because He wants to teach me how to deny myself, pick up my cross daily, and walk with Him. He's going to teach me how to crucify my flesh on a daily basis. But I got to get in the Scriptures. I can't just have Scripture. I got to get in the Scripture. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. 6, 4, 6, 6, 6, 8, 8, 4, 6, 8. Notice what he says in verse four of this. He says, through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We all have evil desires left to ourselves. If you and I don't crucify our flesh daily, the flesh starts to raise up. The less you put the Word in, the less you get into the Word and get the Word in you and crucify your flesh, the less the Holy Spirit can move in us. Because with breathing and quenching the Spirit in, the more you feed your flesh with corruption that's in the world, lust, pride of life, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the pride of our eyes, the lust of our eyes, all of these things are corruptive. You and I have to constantly check ourselves, especially us men. Us men, friends, we are visual. A lot of you ladies know that men are visual. And some of you ladies, y'all help facilitate the visuality of men because you wear certain things and this is women of God. But women in the world, they're going to be worldly. But women of God are required to dress in a modest way according to Scripture. Now, you ain't got to dress like a nun, but you should wear something appropriate that you don't give men an opportunity to undress you, or really they don't have to undress you. You shouldn't give them an opportunity to look up on you with lust and start to fantasize about you because they see the silhouette of your dress. Or they see you wearing, you know, booty shorts. You're wearing certain things that you would wear in the world, but you come, now you're in the faith, but your dress hasn't changed. Perseverance. See, when we change, when we were under old management, which was Satan, remember there was a song in the R&B community, I Found Love Under New Management. The new management should be for the Christian, though, Jesus Christ. When you and I are crucified with Christ, we're under new management. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Christ. So that means what you wear should glorify Him. Because remember, we're trying to escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
And some of you sisters, let's be honest, you know what you're wearing when you wear that. And there's no, well, I wear this to church, and you go to church wearing modest and stuff, and then on work days, or when you step out and go to the mall and go to this and go to that, you put on the tight, skinny jeans, and you're showing everything. Come on now. There's no secular life for us as Christians. We have been bought. You and I are not the world. Nor should we participate in the world's mentality and cause a brother or sister to stumble because we're wearing certain things. And I'm talking about men, too, because men can dress in a certain way. Men can cause a woman to stumble. You know, if you're a buff dude and you got a, you know, you're bodybuilder or whatever, what you walking around with this tank top on? What are you trying to cause a sister to stumble for? Why are you trying to trip her up, man of God? So we're responsible for, we can be a stumbling block for our brothers and sisters when we're not persevering. Verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith godliness, or goodness, goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. That's our key word. And to perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities, notice what he says, if you possess these qualities, in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and uncorrupted or unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why people don't move forward in their faith? You know why they can't seem to get past the what we call the elementary stages of the faith? The problem is that we don't act. We're not practicing what we say we are. We're not taking the scriptures in the fullness that God has given us, because he didn't just read this out of his mouth. And when the Bible says that man should not eat by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we just take that as whatever. But this really means that it's the word of God that will sanctify you. And our sanctification is not just the moment you got saved, but it's an ongoing process until you hit glorification, which is heaven. The moment that you think that you can just say a prayer today, and then 20 years later, there's been no fruit on the tree, but you're still claiming you're saved because you got baptized at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but now you're 55 and there's been no fruit on the tree. There's been no relationship ongoing. There's been no consistency. You wouldn't treat your wife like that. How could you be married to somebody or wives married to their husbands for 55 years and you don't even talk to them? But we do that to God and claim to be Christians. Oh, Jesus, speak to somebody. Some of us really think that this is a game. And this perseverance that God is requiring of us is not just for our sake, but if we're not maturing, we basically give Jesus a bad name because it makes the world think that there's no real urgency for us to get right with God. See, if I can claim that I was saved at, if I can claim I was saved in my first baptism, water baptism, cause that's what I was told that I was saved. If I can just claim that I was saved at the time I got baptized, which was at the age of 7, but I didn't produce any fruit. I grew up from a young man into a teenager. I was all about my flesh. I didn't even like going to church. My mom would take me up to a certain age, and then she stopped making me go. There was no urgency for me because I wasn't getting anything out of it. It wasn't really doing anything inside of me. I wasn't feeling the presence of God because I didn't know him. I didn't know Jesus Christ like I know him now. And I didn't know the power of his resurrection. But when Jesus came, spoke to me Easter Sunday, 1993, and I wasn't in church, the weight, I felt my sin laid out. I felt the presence, and I felt that heaviness of all of my life, of everything that I had been living in the flesh, in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes of the Father. I felt it all, And I didn't understand it. I did not understand it. I didn't have a vision. I just had a conviction. And that conviction brought me to a place of seeking him and confessing my sin and truly asking Jesus Christ to not just come into my life, but to be my life. I needed a resurrection. I needed to be raised up in newness. I needed to be born again. And this is what it's about, friends. This relationship is about perseverance. God wants us to know him. I know we're going to have a part two on this because I see it already. Not going to make it. Not going to make it. But let's get through a few of these. I want to tell, what is perseverance? Let's go through, just dissect this part right here. 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. You can call in. We'll probably be another 30 minutes. Around 3:30, we'll get ready to shut it down. And if you want to call in and you have a prayer request, if you want to know, you just want to, you know, if you want to vent, if you didn't like nothing I said, whatever, I'll give you opportunity. As long as you be respectful, even if you don't like what I said, we still need to respect one another and show some form of respect. Amen? So Peter is telling us something that about perseverance. And we need to understand, friends, that this perseverance is for our benefit. It's for our benefit, for us to get to that next level. Because, you know, you hear pastors, a lot of pastors talking about, you know, God wants to take you to this next level. Well, he's not going to take us to that next level just by saying we want to go to that next level. No, this is about progression. It's about growing up. It's about maturing. It's about integrity and character. True Christianity has nothing to do with your flesh and feelings and really very little about your emotions. But it has a lot to do with your devotion to God. Listen to this. We live in a world where, according to Jesus, we will surely have trouble. John 16:33. Some trials and tribulations simply come from living in this fallen world, and are those which are common to man. Some trouble is unique. It is a unique variety that afflicts a child of God living in an unbelieving world. And we live there. In America, we had the scriptures. When this country was founded, we had the scriptures. It was the word of God. Now, did everybody that came over here, did everybody that claimed to be a Christian, were they truly a Christian? Absolutely not. It doesn't negate the fact that the word of God came over here, though. It doesn't negate the fact that Jesus Christ allowed us to hear the gospel, which is able to save our souls. Trust me, friends, not one person who instituted slavery in this country, I'm not talking about slavery that Jesus talks about, because slavery used in the Old Testament wasn't in the slavery that even Jews had slaves, but these slaves weren't to be treated the way that African Americans were treated here in America. So slavery in the form of how it was abused and how it was misrepresented in Scripture by certain groups of people who basically took the Scriptures and twisted and perverted them, oh, they're going to have to give an account. The Bible says if we add to his word, he'll add to us the plagues. And if we take away, he'll take away those blessings that we would have had. So don't think that any of us or anybody is going to get away with anything. God already has a judgment. Just like he had the judgment in Matthew chapter 23 of those Pharisees. I mean, at Matthew 24, those Pharisees who were self-righteous. Or they're burning in hell, or they will be burning in hell one day. But notice this. He says, some trouble is the unique variety that afflicts a child of God living in an unbelieving world. Some of our trials are internal. In Romans 7, type, as you yearn to grow in grace, but find sin still firmly rooted within us. We're all being tempted. Every day, there's always a temptation. Some of us feel that unction to go out and do some sin. Maybe it's to lay up with somebody you're not married to. Maybe it's to watch a porn. Maybe, you know, your flesh and my flesh, we can't trust it. There's a war going on between us, between our flesh and God. Always there's a war going on. But God has given us victory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't listen to your flesh. We need to be firmly rooted in our faith. That's why it's important to add and grow. And the knowledge of God, knowledge, which is wisdom, is knowledge applied. Whatever the brand of struggle we face, we need a secure oak in order to hang in there over a lifetime of growing in grace. In Hebrews 6:19, hope is called an anchor for the soul. That is a tremendous image, the picture of an anchor giving security and stability to a ship. You notice how I've been on one cruise ship, going on another one before the end of the year, Lord willing. But I've been on one cruise ship. When they would dock or they drop anchor, that anchor would go down deep and it would hit the bottom for what? So that anchor would keep that ship in place. Usually those big cruise ships, you usually have two or three anchors, maybe four, two in the front, two in the back. But they're used to keep that boat stable and from moving around. God is the anchor of our soul. And when you and I are grounded in him, when we're in him, he is the anchor that keeps us from wandering off. He's the one that keeps us steady, and he allows us to, he keeps us so we can persevere through trials, no matter what the trial is, because none of us, not one trial, should be able to shake us away from our risen Lord if we truly know him, if we truly have a relationship with him. Not one trial should keep us from moving away from him. It should draw us closer to him, if anything. That is what hope does for us and more. Romans 5:25. We can remain, Romans 5:25 says, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering. Suffering. What? You want me to rejoice in suffering? Yes. Knowing that suffering produces what? Endurance. Think about a marathon runner. Think about one who runs long distance. So a marathon runner, he wants to give up. It hurts. He's agonizing to get to the finish line. He's at mile 15, though. He's got 10 more miles to go, or 9 more miles. Marathon's 26. He's still got a ways to go. She's got a way to go. But we remain. We be steadfast. Look, he says, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Wow. Do you understand that perseverance produces this? It produces this type of character that we can be able to stand the test of time, my brothers and sisters. We can go through something. We can go through anything down here because Christ has given us everything we need, which pertains to life and godliness. People say, oh, it's hard, it's hard. Stop telling yourself it's hard and tell yourself that Jesus endured. He's given us the ability to endure. He's given us everything we need. I like what Paul says here, though. Because he says in verse 3, not only this, but we also rejoice in sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. The suffering that we get, friends, is ordained by God. Remember I gave a lesson earlier this week about Esther, and it was talking about God's providence, his providence. That means God has set things in order and allowed things to happen, good and evil. He's allowing them to happen. His divine providence is sanctioned by God. This Hitler was sanctioned by God. He allowed Hitler to be a persecutor of Jews. All the world leaders have been sanctioned by God. But they still will be held to accountable. They will be accountable for their actions of the sin they committed. When I say sanctioned, I don't mean God made them sin, but God took the sin that was in their heart that they used, and he sanctioned it. And Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good for those who are called. All things work together for the good. Doesn't matter what happens. One thing you need to know is that God is with you. If you're a child of God, if you're born again of the Spirit, if you're a child of God, you've been given everything you need, and God will take you through it because he wants us to grow. Notice verse 3, not only this, but we also rejoice. Stop murmuring and complaining. Stop walking around like you've been defeated, like you've been knocked out. We need to rejoice. Count it all joy. James tells us that. Count it all joy when you go through fiery trials. But he says, rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character. Oh, man, so many people don't have no character. So many professing believers lack character and integrity. And these aren't things you just get at the moment you're saved. These are things that your sanctification, you work out you work through these. Your character is built. My character is built through going through these sufferings that produce endurance that also bring forth a character, a godly character, and character hope. See, most people that don't have no character, they don't have no hope either. And they're looking for man to try to save them. They want man to throw them a life raft instead of receiving the life raft that God has thrown out. See, when Jesus reached his hand down to grab you, you've been saved. When man reaches his hand down there, you don't know if he's going to let go. You don't know if he's going to walk away. You don't know what his intention is for you. We can remain steadfast, trusting God through present difficulties and pain because we know the outcome. Friends, one thing you need to get this in your spirit from this day forth. If you are a child of God, a born-again believer who is working out your salvation with fear and trembling, we all at different levels in our spiritual walk. We all at different levels of maturity in our spiritual walk. But one thing we should be doing is maturing. There's no excuse in the world we can stand before God and say, we didn't grow because so-and-so, or I was in this church or that church. As long as you got a Bible, as long as you got this Bible, you got an opportunity to grow every day of your life. And even if you don't have a pastor, you got an opportunity to grow. And if you ask God and pray that God will put somebody in your life to teach you and build you up, because he put pastors in the church for a specific purpose. To build up the body of Christ. You got these people say, I don't need to go to church. The Holy Spirit teach me. If you're disobedient to God and say you don't need to, that you just going to basically throw God's word out the door because you don't like the pastor that you sit up under, find your church where you do like the pastor, where he is teaching the word of God. You might not like him because he's teaching you truth and he's bringing conviction upon him. That might be the reason you don't want to be there. Because, see, some people are running. They're trying to hide like Adam and Eve did in the garden. They knew they was busted. When God called out to Adam and Eve, friends, in Genesis chapter 3, he wasn't calling out to them like he didn't know where they was at. He wasn't calling out to them because they had pulled one over on God. No, he's calling out to them because he wants them to know now, out of all the time, we don't know how long Adam and Eve was there. It could have been thousands of years they could have been there. We don't know. God doesn't give us a timeline. But one thing we know for sure is that God wasn't dumbed down. He wasn't taken by surprise when Adam and Eve did what they did. He knew exactly what they was going to do. He allowed it to happen. But the consequences fell upon us all. Because he told them, the day that you eat of this fruit will be the day you die. And we all experienced that death because we were all dead in our trespasses and sins before the cross of Christ. And those who have not come to saving faith, those who have not trusted Jesus Christ, they're dead in their trespasses and sins. You don't get into heaven by what your mother did, what your father did. Your whole family could have been pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists. I don't mean you're going to get into the kingdom because they are. What are you doing with the cross? What am I doing with the cross? What am I doing with this faith? Because, see, if I'm truly saved, if I'm truly born again, then I'm going to be, as Romans 5:2 says, I'm going to be enduring. First he says, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of God's glory. Not only this, but we also rejoice in suffering. See, most professing believers don't want to rejoice in suffering. If you're not willing to suffer with them, you're not going to live with them. Don't take my word for it. Let's look at what James has to say about it. Go to James chapter 1. He tells us that we need to count it all joy. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, 12 tribes in this dispersion greeting. This was a time of persecution of the church. Count it all joy, verse 2, my brothers, talking to church, believers, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Perfect means mature. If you don't want to go through suffering, you don't want to go through trials, you don't want to be a Christian. Because true Christianity means you're going to suffer. True Christianity means you're going to go through, you're going to have to endure something. I mean, you might have a wife that abandoned you, men. Your wife might go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and say, I don't want to serve Jesus no more. And she start giving you hell in your house. Or, ladies, you might have because you got saved, you might have a husband that's a non-believer, and he don't want you to follow Jesus. And you're on fire for Jesus. And you're going to church. And you're growing. And you're maturing. And you're enduring. And the suffering might take place in your house. All hell breaks out in your house. Now, because you're on fire for the Lord and no longer making your husband your idol, or men, you're not making your wife your idol, but you've made God your Lord, now you see the devil using your mate against you. Don't mean you run out to the divorce court and get a divorce because they're not a believer. You need to endure. You need to count it all joy when you're going through. Because, see, now they're not picking on you. They're not just picking on you to be picking on you. They're basically coming against the God that you now serve. Because you're living in this relationship, and that relationship trumps the relationship you had with them. See, before, they used to be your idol, your God, your Lord. But now you've got Jesus Christ as your Lord, Master. And because you're walking by faith and you're standing on, you have the anchor of your soul. You're holding on to the anchor of your soul. Now you're enduring. You're enduring. See, perseverance, friends, is more than just going through the trial. It means that, hey, trials might get so heavy and heated that, hey, people want to take you out. They want to come against you. Because the devil hates when you and I surrender to God and submit to him, and we're rejoicing in this suffering. He doesn't want that. So when you can count it all true, when you can smile and say, thank you, Lord, for this trial. I know it's hard. It takes maturity to do that. When your family members now, when you used to be hanging out with them, getting drunk, getting high, partying, and all those things, you don't go to the parties no more. You don't go to the family functions no more because those things grieve and quench your Lord. And because when you step in there, you're walking in the light, and they don't want you there. But you're talking about Jesus. You're talking about what the Lord is doing in your life, and now they come against you. They want to persecute you. For his name's sake, they want to persecute you. Why? Because you're living for Jesus. You're not playing with Jesus on Sunday. Jesus is your Lord Monday through Sunday. Oh, Jesus. That's some good stuff, right? See, that's real Christianity. See, it's easy to be a Christian on Sunday morning, because it don't really require that. You're around a bunch of other people who might be pretending to be Christians on Sunday. So it's easy to come together, come in a building for a few hours, shout, hoop, and holler, fall out, roll around on the floor, and have our religious fix. But what are we doing with Jesus the rest of the week? Nothing. Because Jesus was never in the mix. He was just some people's Jesus is nothing more than that little Jack in the Box. Remember that old? I'm a little older than some of y'all, but that little box we used to wind up. We used to wind that box up. And the Jack in the Box pop out. That's the Jesus that some people have. He pops out on Sunday. That's the only time you wind him up. Jesus, give me what I want. He pops out. Jesus, give me money. Jesus, give me a husband. Jesus, give me a wife. Jesus, give me a car. Jesus, give me a house. How about Jesus, give me perseverance? How about Jesus, give me some trials so I can go through this and I can grow and mature and be one of those who's built that my character could be changed from the inside out. Where I used to have a character where people didn't want to be around me. Now the saints of God, they see that God is working in me and through me. So we can remain steadfast, trusting God through present difficulties and pains because we know the outcome, and the outcome is heaven. When you and I are born again of the Spirit, we have one thing, one mission, to get to heaven, to bring glory to his name, to live a life that honors him. Down here, while we're here, he saved us. He saved us for the sole purpose that we would make his name great. That we would make his, we would, the glory of God would shine, and people would see that God is in us, the hope of glory. He says, only with a secure hope, rooted. Remember I talked about that seed. You drop that seed in the ground, put some dirt on top. The seed don't start popping out first. It had to go down first. It goes down and digs deep. Those roots have to go down. And as you start to grow, the roots should be getting deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper. Rooted in the faithfulness. Faithfulness. See, a lot of people say, I walk by faith. How about if you're walking by faith, that means you're a faithful walker. You walk by faith, faithful. You're faithful to the walk of faith. You're faithful because you walk in the Spirit. And you don't gratify the lust of the flesh. You don't walk for this world no more. You don't live for this world no more. You live for the cross of Christ. And the cross of Christ continues the blood of Christ continues to wash us and purify us daily. He says, because we know the outcome. Only with a secure hope rooted in the faithfulness of God will we be able to weather the storms of life. I don't care if you... Maybe you lost your job. That's a trial. You was making $75,000, $80,000, maybe $50,000, maybe $30,000, but you've been on that job 10, 15 years, and they just give you a pink slip. Can you endure that? Can you persevere and thank God even in the midst of it? Say, Lord, I lost this job. I don't like it, but Lord, I know that you got a plan for me, and I know that if I endure and do my part, if I continue to step and walk in your plan for me, and I rely on you and trust you by faith and just stay faithful and rooted in my faith, then I know that you'll take me through this. But if you start to act like the world and you want to cuss the ball sides, you want to make a you know, you want to go in there and shoot up the place. You want to act like folks and you ain't got no sense. See, when Christians lose their job, we should thank the boss. Well, sir, if you had to let me go, I thank you for the opportunity to work here. I thank you for the opportunity for allowing me to work here. And we should have been those type of faithful workers that we was there. We was on time. We did what we were supposed to do so that we can do, so that people could say, I might not agree with him as a Christian, but guess what? He had good qualities. He was a good worker. He came here and did his job. See, that's perseverance. See, a lot of people want all of the blessings, but they don't want to put in no work. And I'm not talking about working for your salvation. I'm talking about working through your salvation, working out your salvation. You are saved, you're being saved, and when we get to glory, we will be completely saved. I don't believe that any believer, true believer, loses their salvation. The issue is, the question might be, did you really have it in the beginning, in the first place? Are you truly a child of God? Are you truly born again? Because true believers need to be ready to endure, because this perseverance is for all saints. We need to be, when we witness to people, say, listen, now that you're a believer, I'm going to give you straight up. It's not no pie-in-the-sky type religion. It's not no, hey, everything just going to be rosy. Let me tell you something. The moment that you became a Christian, Satan was gunning for you, and he was going to test you to see if it really was what you say you were. And if you're still in the flesh, you never changed, you never repented and turned from the flesh, if you never turned from the flesh, then that means you was never really committed. It's like saying your wedding vows and then leaving your wife at home and you go on a trip with the homies and tell her, I'm coming back in 2 weeks. I had this trip already planned. But you just got married and you went on the honeymoon with the fellas out there a spot where singles go. That's how a lot of people treat God. They made the commitment. They made a covenant with God with their mouth. They said the I do's. They cried the big alligator tears, and they said, Lord, save me. Lord, come have fellowship with me. I need you. But then they go on a long honeymoon with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Speak Holy Ghost. That's why we don't have no victory. That's why it's been no change. That's why you don't see the perseverance. Because he goes on to say, he said, only with the secure hope rooted in the faithfulness of God will we be able to weather the storms of life. It is our total confidence that Christ will complete the work he began in us. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, right? He is able, he began in us that enables us to persevere over a lifetime. Without hope, people give up. You hear this? Without hope, you're giving up. See, it's easy to say I got hope in something, but perseverance produces the hope. Perseverance means I'm ready to go through this trial, and I know that it's not going to be easy. I know it's impossible for me to endure and rejoice in my flesh. I can't do it. But with Christ working through me and in me, and my focus on the cross of Christ and what he did for me, with my focus in my focus is on, Lord, you told me that this is my calling, that I need to make sure my calling and my election is sure. I want to make sure that I'm in right standing with you, Lord. It is our total confidence that Christ will complete the work he began in us, that enables us to persevere over a lifetime. Without hope, people give up. The Christian life must not only be empowered by faith, it must also be sustained by hope. It must be sustained by hope. Using the dictionary to define perseverance and endurance, perseverance and endurance. Let's now define perseverance and endurance. Biblically, Hebrews 12, 1 and 3 says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we must get rid of every weight and sin that clings so closely and run with endurance the race set out for us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set out for him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame, taking his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Think of him who endured such opposition against himself by sinners, so that you may not grow weary in your souls and give up. See, if our hope is not in heaven, friends, what are we doing? If there's no hope to look for, if there's nothing after this world, if there's nothing else, this is what New Agers believe. Well, once you die, you just give up. You just die, go back to the dirt. I'm not even talking about those that say you come back to something else. No. Our hope is in glory, in heaven. Our hope is that one day we will be with him for all eternity. That's what our hope is in. It's not in a fictitious heaven. It's not in something that's fake or some way out there that we can't relate to. I know what God has promised us, and he can't lie. I serve a God that never, ever lies. So I can look forward to this. He tells us here, about 10 minutes, we're going to close this down, and we're going to invite you, if you want to call in, if you have any questions, if you want to make a comment, if you want prayer, please. Verse 5 of Hebrews 11, he says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he did not see death, and he was not to be found because God took him up. For before his removal, he had been commended as having pleased God. See, what faith means that we're trusting in the fact that God can't lie, and all the patriarchs of Old Testament as well as New Testament had the same hope that one day they would see God face to face. That's why we live a life committed to him. We live a life that's connected to him. We live a life that's covenantal. We're separate. Just like God had told Israel that they were the apple of his eyes. But it's only by faith can you be a child of God. It's only by faith can you come into this relationship. Not I say I love the Lord, but I did hold hands with the devil today and tomorrow, and I hold hands with the world, and I'm full of lust and pride, and you know I'm murder and envy and malice, all these things. Look, that's the old me. That's the old life. The new life is I'm set free. And because I've been set free by Christ, I can truly live a free life. Not free to sin, but free from the power of sin, from bondage, the bondage of sin. The job of a witness is a testify, according to Hebrews 12:1-3. Their lives testify that perseverance is possible. The question then is how? To help you derive an answer, first reread Hebrews 11:1-6, then look for one phrase that is consistently used in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to cut off here. We're going to stop here. We'll come back, Lord willing, tomorrow or Monday. We'll come back again and pick up part two of perseverance, because it's so much. But I think we can get the gist of it that one thing, perseverance is endurance. It also produces character. It's also going to produce hope. Meditate on that. And read when you get it. If you get a chance, read Hebrews chapter 11. Read the whole chapter. This is what we call the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. Patriarchs, men of old who endured because they loved God, because they had a relationship with God. They just didn't talk about God. They had a true, authentic, ongoing relationship with God Almighty. Ask yourself, though, maybe it's somebody here that doesn't have that hope because they don't know that Jesus Christ died for them. Or maybe you know he died for you, but you haven't trusted him as your Lord and Savior. You haven't made him your Lord and Savior. And you say, well, brother, I don't know. If I die today, I'm not sure where I'll spend eternity. Well, God knows where you'll spend eternity. You'll spend eternity separated from him in a place which the Bible calls hell. Hell is a place that's separate from God. It separates those who love God from those who don't love God. God doesn't want to send anyone to hell, but people who reject him, people who mock him, people who refuse the love of the truth that they may be saved, are basically telling God they don't want his forgiveness. They don't want him to pardon their sin. They don't want him to wash away their sin because they love their sin. Most people won't own that and say they love sin. They'll say, no, I don't love sin, but God says you do. The Bible says we do. But this is a condemnation for that light has come, that people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. John chapter 3, around verse 17, 18, 19, and reading down, you'll see that Jesus made it very clear. When he was the light that came into the world. But men love darkness. Mankind loves darkness. Nothing new under the sun. They love darkness. Why? Because their deeds are evil. All of us had evil deeds. But God came to show us the light. God in the flesh, the God-man, came down from heaven to give us manna. He was the manna. And he came to set us free. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said, I am the living water. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Some of you are very thirsty, and some of you are very hungry, looking for the manna from hell, the manna from the flesh, the manna from the world. And you've been trying to be satisfied in those things, and those things haven't satisfied you. You found no peace in them. That's why you keep going back to the table of Satan, the table of the world and the table of the flesh, trying to find satisfaction. The Rolling Stones came out with a song. Mick Jagger said, I can't get no satisfaction. Not in this world, you won't. But see, we're insatiable. Our flesh is insatiable. It craves things that it shouldn't have, and even when it gets those things, it's not satisfied. Only Christ can satisfy the thirsty soul. Only Jesus Christ can bring you a hope that's beyond this world, and it's in glory. But you can enjoy and experience that hope down here if you trust him as your Lord and Savior. He requires of you two things. A, that you confess your sin. Tell God what he already knows about you, that you're a sinner. We all are sinners, but some sinners, there are sinners out there that don't love God. They rejected God, and they're walking with the devil, shaking hands with him, swimming with him, laying up with him. They love the flesh, they love the world, they love the devil. If that's your trinity, if that's the Godhead that you serve, then hell will be your home. Hell will be your home. But if you turn from him, you tell Satan, I don't want you anymore. You don't have to tell Satan that, but you can tell him afterwards. I found love under new management by confessing your sin, trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and walking with him, allowing the scriptures to give you this hope so you can endure, so you can have godly character, and that your faith will be on solid ground and will give you faith, give you the ability and the life to be faithful. God doesn't need us you don't need to tell me anything. I'm nobody. I have to confess my sin. You can go before the Lord right now and just tell him what he already knows. Ask him to come in and save you. And watch him start to transform your life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. I'm giving you the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and him crucified right now. And he wants to come in and be your Lord and be your God. And live, be your life. He wants to be your life. I see right now we don't have any phone calls, so we're going to go ahead and cut off. But let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time, Lord God. We thank you for the person. We thank you, Lord God, for just giving us so much to meditate on, Lord. And I ask right now, Father God, that you would just give my brothers and sisters encouragement. Maybe it's somebody still here that does not know you, but they want to know you. I pray, Father God, that you would just minister to them, whether it's a dream or vision, whatever may happen, may their conscience be pricked and may their heart be stirred up, that they may want to seek after you. We love you, Lord. We pray for all those in Florida, Georgia, down in the Caribbean, for Haiti, Puerto Rico, Cuba. We pray for all the Christians down there. We pray for all those that don't know you, Lord God, but they didn't have no hope. They can have hope today if they trust you. We pray for our nation, Lord God. Turn back to Jesus and be revived. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Well, I didn't realize I had set the podcast for 90 minutes. So sorry about that, friends, for those that wanted to call in. The podcast is over with, but we're still live on Facebook Live, and we're live
on tag. So I want to thank you guys for your time. I pray that this has ministered to you. I pray that the word was stirred up some things in us, because as I was teaching this, I was stirred up. And, you know, we need to be prepared to persevere. We're living in some very dangerous times. See, perseverance will take you through those storms like they had in Florida and Texas. Perseverance will give you the ability to look up and not look at the situation. Perseverance gives you the hope that God's word is true, because he told us these things were going to happen. And we can be encouraged and be strengthened. Because, see, if the world was getting better, friends, then we wouldn't really be looking at our Bibles the way. But when your eyes are open to the truth, when your eyes are open to the cross of Christ, the message of Christ, you can know that this word, because it's true, and all these things are taking place, they're taking place to strengthen us, to let us know that God is coming back soon to get his church. He's coming back to get his bride. And you want to be a bride of Christ. You don't want to be an adulterer, a spiritual adulterer. You don't want to be trying to hold hands with the devil, court the devil behind the scenes, and you want to go to, quote unquote, you want to go to church on Sunday. God, you ain't fooling God. He sees it all, friend. Not one of us are going to be able to get away with hypocrisy. And why would we want to? Like I said before, and I'll say it again, if I'm going to hell, I'm going first class. Why play games? There's no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. People go around saying I'm a babe in Christ. Yeah, we might be babies, but you don't stay a babe. You're not God requires us to grow. It's commanded that we grow and mature and persevere. If you choose not to do that, you need to check your salvation and see whether you're being the faith. I can only tell you what the Bible says. I'm not here to tell you what my beliefs are. I'm here to tell you what God says. It's about what Jesus has presented. It's about what the Bible says. When we talk about the Word of God is the standard. It's not me. I didn't write Scripture. If your pastor telling you anything other than what says the Lord from the Holy Writ, he's not called by God. So I just want to encourage you. We'll come back maybe tomorrow for part two. Probably not tomorrow. We'll most likely be on Monday. We'll come back tomorrow on Monday for part two, the perseverance of the Christian faith. And we'll just look at this a little bit more closely and see how we still, because, friends, I really believe this. I believe there's more storms coming, not just the physical storms, but more. There's going to be things that's going to rattle us in this nation, in our country. Because I believe God is going to judge America. There's an apostasy that's taking place in the body of Christ here in America. And I believe, without doubt, that just like 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us, that perilous times are coming. They're here. But they're going to come greater upon our nation, because we've had the word of God for many, many hundreds of years. But what have we done with the truth? What did we used to do with it, and what are we doing with it now? And there's a lot of teachers, Bible teachers, that used to teach sound doctrine. These weren't false teachers. They were men who feared God. But they didn't want to endure. Now they're out in that world teaching another gospel. Now they became false teachers. They used to teach the word of God. They used to be excited about Jesus. But now they're not persevering, because trials are coming, shaking up their faith. And they were exposed for who they were. It's the one who endures to the end, he or she will be saved. Hey, I'm Minister Daryl Kendrick. I want to thank you guys for your time. Thank you for allowing me to pour into you, to serve, to lift you up, to encourage you. If you're a believer, you have nothing to fear if you are growing in your relationship to God. If you're a make-believer, you have a lot of things to worry about. If this is just a playtime for you, if church is just something you've been doing all your life, but you never really sold out for Christ, and all of us should be sold out. It shouldn't be, oh, that person sold out for Christ. Everybody should be sold out for Christ. Every born-again believer needs to be excited about what God is doing in their life. If God is doing anything in your life, you should be excited.
Just the fact that he saved you should be something to be excited about. I know I am. A man who's had 26 heart attacks and been on the operating table twice and they was messing around with the heart, I got a lot to be excited about. But I got more to be excited about because I know him. I know him, and he loves me. And he loves you, too, if you're walking this walk out. If you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling, if you're enduring, he loves you, and he has something for you. And he wants us to grow. The blessings are not just here for me. I've been blessed with the spiritual blessings now, but in glory, I'm not going to miss none of this junk. All this stuff down here is going to burn up. In glory, I won't lack nothing. I have a new body, a new mind. I'll be given an opportunity to go wherever heaven is. I'll be able to walk around. I don't know. It's probably as big as Texas, maybe. But whatever I can look forward to in heaven, I'll never be looking back on earth. I promise you that. But that's that. Right now, we mourn for people who die and they don't know Jesus. In heaven, we won't be mourning anymore. We're going to be complete. Hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Again, for those who want to come out Sunday to Core Church, if you want to come and visit Core Church of Los Angeles, check us out, www.corechurchla.org. 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 are the service times on Sundays. 7:30 p.m. for Bible study on Thursday night. Also, if you want to check out the podcast, you can check it out. Go to Minister Big Ken 65. Also, you can check me out on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. And you can check me out also on Twitter at DKendrickSR65. DKendrickSR65. I'm thinking about starting my Periscope back up maybe next week, so we'll see. But I might just do a series on Periscope and then upload that on YouTube. Also, YouTube is Daryl Kendrick on YouTube. So, hey, please share this message with, if you was blessed, if it stimulated you to love and good works, if it encouraged you and built you up, please hit the share button and share it with your family and friends. Hey, have a blessed weekend. Be safe this weekend. I know some of you will be watching a fight. Be safe. Don't be doing no drinking and driving. Please don't get drunk. That's not the heart of a Christian. But please be encouraged, and may the Lord bless you until we meet again. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I was born and raised in Mendocino County in California. I was on a working farm in Mendocino County and grew up on a working farm. So I have a background in agriculture. I could drive a cat tractor. I could do the irrigation systems. I decided to take environmental studies and planning course at Sonoma State University, where I got my degrees. After some training, I became an agriculture crop loss adjuster, which meant that if there were any crops that failed in California for any reason, crop loss adjusters were sent by the state of California to go investigate where these crop losses were and why there were crop losses throughout the state. So I was traveling about 50,000 miles a year in this process from county to county, assessing what kind of crops, what kind of damage they had, and looking into the reasons for the failure itself, and how much value the crop was that was lost at that particular time. And then if there was a crop loss that was legitimate, then ranchers or farmers could be paid crop insurance for the loss of their crops. In 98, I began to notice just a little bit of tree decline on the property here. I began to notice that some trees didn't look as healthy, and I started to worry about that. Just in the background is something that was nagging, because I was concerned about losing the beautiful trees we have around here. then in early 2000, I began to notice that I would see jets, and they would leave these little tiny trails, and then the sky would white out after that. And I was always irritated because our skies used to be so crystal clear and blue and gorgeous. And all of a sudden, you would see these jets, and I kind of thought of them almost as joyriding. And when they were, or skywriting, and when they did this, then the sky would haze over. And so I found myself, when I was teaching tennis and being outdoors all the time, or traveling for work, that I was irritated a little bit about the idea that the skies were hazed over a lot. So that was the first inkling. And then in 2002, I was working for the Mendocino County Probation Department. I was on a lunch break, and a friend of mine stopped me and dragged me into his office and said, "What do you know about this?" And I said, "Nothing." And so he said, "Well," he said, "look," he said, "I want you to know that something strange is happening here, and I'm really concerned about it. My brother, who's in the military, is concerned about this and has called me a couple of times to say he was concerned that there was something here that was going on that was not quite right." He couldn't go any further, but he did take me outside that lunch hour and say, "Today is a really bad day." And that's when he really brought my attention to watching the jets and how the jets would leave a small trail and then it would expand into these huge plumes. And at that particular juncture of time, that day, I was in and bought a pair of binoculars after work and a camera, and I started taking pictures and watching what was going on. And that day, I had never seen so many jets flying in so many directions, leaving so many huge plumes that turn into the, you know, small trails that turn into these huge plumes in my life, and I knew that something was wrong. And that started me investigating what was going on. In the beginning, when I first began to see, you know, notice the jets, I would see one, and then I would see some white haze, but I never did take notice of, really, any notice other than some irritation when we hazed out. However, I can say that when I saw this particular day, and I began to pay attention, I could hardly drive straight, and I had to pull over all the time just to be able to look at these jets and say, "Look, this is not normal." I think that there were a lot of jets flying that day because there were many going in the same direction, leaving parallel lines. And in subsequent days, I would see many jets flying where the lines were parallel, and there would be 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 all leaving trails at one time. And I thought that that was really peculiar, that there would be so many. Later, I think that there were fewer jets, but that they would circle the county. And they go up one side of the county on the east side, and they